Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log. Interviews with the authors and musicians that make Simultaneous Times podcast possible. You've heard the stories and the music. Now hear the stories behind the stories.
Welcome to Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Susan Rukeyser. Susan Rukeyser writes and reads in Joshua Tree, California. Her short fiction, creative nonfiction, and multimedia work appear in numerous places, online and in print. Her stories, From the Angels to Snakes and We Have Your Connie Moody, were performed on episodes 14 and 18 of Simultaneous Times podcast. Her novel, Not on Fire, Only Dying, was published by Twisted Road Publications. Susan edited and published Feckless Cunt, a feminist anthology, and hosts the monthly Desert Split Open Mic. Find her at susanrukeyser.com. What was your first experience with science fiction, and what inspired you to first create work in the genre?
Well, I would have to say that my first significant experience with science fiction was The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, which I admit I didn't realize at the time was science fiction. Reading that book was a profound experience for me. I have very lucid memories of exactly where I was, what I was eating while I was reading that book. I still have the battered mass market copy that I read that summer, and it just showed me what is possible with fiction. And as far as what inspired me to try writing science fiction, that would be you. I feel like at a certain point you had gotten to know my work and me, and you saw that a big theme for me in my work is the other, as how we other people and try and categorize them and distance ourselves from them and define them in ways that I think make it easier for us just to understand the world. And you helped me understand that science fiction might actually be the perfect genre to explore themes like that. And I started writing sci-fi and I realized I just had more tools to work with.
Aside from The Handmaid's Tale, what are some of your favorite science fiction books or literary fiction books?
After I read The Handmaid's Tale, I definitely went down the Margaret Atwood rabbit hole. I read all of her novels and most of her stories and poems. A standout would be her later, much later, and definitely more explicitly science fiction novel, Oryx and Crake. Some other early influences would be women like Joyce Carol Oates, Mary Gateskill, Grace Paley, Amy Hempel, Anita Bruckner, Laurie Moore. My college professors claimed there was some similarity between my work and Alice Munro's, which I was quite familiar with, but I'm not sure if I see that. You know, I'm attracted to authors who center women's stories and give us real women with real flaws, as fully rendered as any male anti-hero. I had a very traditional English lit background, which of course was sort of weighted to white male authors. So I made a point of reading exclusively women in my personal time. Some more recent favorite authors would be Megan Abbott, Gillian Flynn, especially her debut, Sharp Objects, and a book called 9 Months by Paula Bomer. Another recent standout for me would be Hilary Jordan, in particular her novel When She Woke, which is just fantastic feminist dystopian fiction. It's a retelling of The Scarlet Letter in many ways.
Aside from writing short fiction, you're also a novelist. Do you prefer writing novels to short stories, or vice versa? And what do you find to be the strengths of working in each format?
Well, when I write for a novel, I really do enjoy the expansiveness that I feel with it. I really feel like I can lay out a big map with multiple paths and multiple characters, and I can follow them because we're in no rush, and I can see where they lead me. I might even discover the conclusion through them. And you can draw on that, all the little collection of things that all writers have, you know, snippets of dialogue or observations, images, things like that, that we have in our little satchel ready to use. I love going through that and seeing what has finally found its place. But I am a slow thinker and a slow writer, and to date I've only written or completed two novels, Not on Fire, Only Dying, which is as complete and true a picture of me as a writer and person as there is to date. And I worked really hard on that book, and I remain very proud of it. There's one other completed novel that I wrote before that, which will probably never see the light of day. And I've written tens of thousands of words towards a new novel that I'm only now starting to understand, you know, what exactly I'm trying to say and where it's going to go. My life personally has been in a lot of flux the last few years, and I think that's the reason, is I'm processing everything, and I need to do that before I can write about it. So I write a lot of short work, you know, creative nonfiction, flash fiction, and even small, shorter than that, micro and Twitter-length prose. And I do try and write something every month for the open mic that I host here in Joshua Tree, the Desert Split open mic. So it can be about anything that's on my mind, politically or socially or otherwise. Try to keep it to about 800 words. That sort of pressure has really helped, and I've loosened up a little bit with form.
What difficulties arose for you in working in a new genre?
At first, I just wasn't sure where to start because I was convinced I didn't know much about science fiction. My background is definitely in reading and studying and writing literary or general fiction. And I was really hung up on thinking that science fiction had to include a lot of outer space and rockets and aliens, and I was forgetting that literally all of life is science, and we live with advanced technology all around us every day. In the stories that I wrote for this podcast, I relied on your input and edits to keep me away from some of the pitfalls that I might have succumbed to as a relatively new writer in this genre. For instance, I remember we talked about having to maybe dial back my descriptions of human beings from the perspective of people from other planets, as that is something that has definitely been done before. And I had to consider how popular dystopia has become, and I really needed to figure out how was I going to make this different and worth reading. And I know I had to make some corrections to my planetary science because, you know, science fiction fans will notice that and will perhaps stop reading or listening at that point. And, you know, that's fair enough, because I feel like your trust in the author is broken at that point.
How have you found science fiction useful for conveying political ideas?
Well, in my most recent story for this podcast, we have your Connie Moody. I knew I wanted to write about the place I lived before I moved here to Joshua Tree, which was a very conservative, quiet suburb north of Atlanta, Georgia. And I had started several projects set there, and they just weren't working out. And I realized that some of the things I wanted to talk about, like the violence of well-groomed bigotry, to quote from that story, were absolutely going to be improved by writing within a science fiction framework. It otherwise might have come across as somewhat heavy-handed or even boring, because we all know we're sort of inundated with talk and words about social and political commentary. And I wanted to do more than that. This is fiction. It is supposed to be entertainment. In my story, From the Angels to Snakes, I knew I wanted to write feminist dystopian fiction. And I wanted to convey the urgency I feel right now, from the destruction of wilderness to inequality of all kinds and to where I think maybe salvation might lie. And I'm very interested in using sci-fi to explore the what-ifs. You know, what if some of these social constructs that we just take for granted no longer existed or had never existed? And what if the world just worked completely differently from the way it does? So I see a lot of opportunities for me to play with that in the future.
What do you see as themes that will become increasingly important in science fiction?
Well, I think science fiction, like literary or general fiction, has always lent itself to exploring the big questions, like why are we here and why do we do the things that we do? I think it's the obvious genre for exploring themes of climate or world collapse, the entire cycle of life and evolution and extinction, and all the ways that can be interpreted. Overpopulation and dwindling resources, greed, pandemics, and, you know, and the inevitable violence in response to those things. You know, for me, what will always be the most interesting, though, is why or how or if the main character decides that survival is worth it. I think there would be a lot to be gained from science fiction exploring our discomfort with death. Of course, isolation and loneliness and conformity, loss of individuality. I know that's, you know, already an existing significant theme in science fiction. And I see writers using science fiction to investigate and hopefully dismantle some of the old outdated constructs like hierarchies and binaries and organized religion. It allows us to imagine how we might live without them, and maybe what life would be like if they hadn't ever become our framework. You know, science fiction can be used to explore countless what-ifs that move any conversation far beyond where we are now, and that's what I think is so powerful about writing.
Tell us a little more about your work outside of the podcast and any upcoming projects or past projects you'd like to talk about.
I help with a number of local literary events here, and that sort of just happened spontaneously, and I hope it continues because that's very important to me. I am trying to actively use whatever privilege I have to help amplify the voices of those who don't have such ready access or have historically been silenced or ignored. Last summer, I curated the literary portion of Joshua Tree Pride, and last fall, I helped gather local writers to perform the poetry of the composer Lou Harrison. And just yesterday, we had a special multimedia event celebrating the release of a new book from the poet Tamara Haddis. It's called Colors of My Pain, which shares her lived experience with chronic illness. And as far as my own work, I am absolutely serious about finishing this novel this year, now that I finally have an idea of what it has been waiting for me to figure out that it is. And I will every month continue to host the Desert Split Open Mic, which focuses on feminist, queer, and otherwise radical work, poetry and prose. I always try and write something myself for that every month, and that has been a good motivator for me. The open mic grew out of my experience editing and publishing an anthology called Feckless Cunt, a feminist anthology, gathered the work of 35 contributors. It's work that's powerful and poignant and important, and it was sort of in response to a particular moment of political hypocrisy and cruelty, but it is also timeless. It is a much larger view of, you know, living in a misogynist society. And the open mic allows me to sort of continue that conversation and expand on it and see where it might go from here. And I, on my own, I'm always writing sort of a variety of short fiction, creative nonfiction, and multimedia work. My most recent publications are two tiny, sort of experimental creative nonfiction pieces. One found its home at the Santa Ana River Review, and another at X-Ray Lit Mag, and I hope to read them next month at the Bombay Beach Literary Week, which I'm excited to be a part of, down by the Salton Sea. And readers can always find a complete list of my publications on my website, which is susanrukeyser.com.
You just heard Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Susan Rukeyser, with music by Loop Pool. Simultaneous Times is a monthly science fiction podcast going live on the 15th of each month. And now, Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, interviews with the authors and musicians of the podcast, going live on the first of every month. Theme music by Dane Lescom. Be sure to visit us at our bookstore in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And out now, Simultaneous Times Volume 1, paperback science fiction anthology, available on our website and on Lulu. Get in touch on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And now a word from other fellow Joshua Tree podcasters.
Are you looking for a new way to think and transform? Tune into Myth Matters, a bi-weekly podcast of storytelling and conversation about mythology and why it's important to life today. Find a more creative way to live. Learn more at mythicmojo.com and keep the mystery in your life alive.
Have you ever wondered why people live in the desert? I'm Dawn Davis, and I host Desert Lady Diaries podcast. It's a weekly conversation with women who found their home in the Mojave Desert. Each week, I talk to women who were either born and raised in the desert or felt called to come here and what the desert means to them. You can learn more about the podcast and listen at DesertLadyDiaries.com.
We live in a very weird place. A dry and mountainous land of poisonous creatures and desert monsters, missing tourists, and strange lights in the sky. Join us every Friday at 10 p.m. for a late-night voyage across the mysterious Mojave Wilderness on KCDZ 107.7.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.